Time's up. Let's do this.
We're in for a wild night.
Welcome, 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 everybody, to a special bonus episode of Born to be Wild, a Wild exclusive Hearthstone podcast where we have fun hanging out with friends, talking about the Wild format of Hearthstone and spotlighting members of the Wild community. I'm your host, as always, Nate Wolf. It is great to be back on a beautiful day, joining you from Orange County, California, tonight, joined by two of my favorite people, Hydralisk. Welcome back. How are you today?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic, joining everybody from the greater Vancouver area. Pretty smoky up here, but I'm doing great, and we've got a really cool thing to share with you guys, so I'm pretty stoked.
Absolutely. And Electric Sheep City, welcome back. How are you, friend?
Meowdy friends, I'm doing fantastic, coming at you from the greater Denver, Colorado area, and excitement abounds to dive into the special bonus episode.
Oh, absolutely. So we said that this is a special bonus episode. So what makes it so special? We recently had the pleasure to sit down with Matt London and Celestalon from the Hearthstone dev team to talk about Caverns of Time, the first ever Wild exclusive Hearthstone expansion. Really, really excited. And so without further ado, let us just jump right into the interview.
Welcome, 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 everyone. We are so excited to be joined today by Matt London and Celestalon from the Hearthstone dev team to talk about something really exciting. The first ever Wild exclusive Hearthstone expansion, Caverns of Time. Thank you guys so much for joining us this afternoon. And just to kick things off, can you tell us what exactly is Caverns of Time?
Well, first of all, it is really great to be here. Thank you for having us on the show. I think I speak for both of us when I say we've been fans for a long time. Nate, as a fellow lore nerd, I just appreciate it. So thanks for having us.
That means so much, man. And I know it's a long time coming, so we're so excited.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's great. It's great to be here, and it's great to be able to share this moment. It is a really big moment for Wild. So first of all, what is Caverns of Time? Caverns of Time, like you said, is a new direct-to-Wild Hearthstone set. It is a combination of over 100 buffed, powered-up, super-powered-up Hearthstone cards from the past, as well as many new cards, which will be entering only Wild and some twist formats. So, and those cards are sort of themed around this set idea of the Caverns of Time. And it should be a great way for people to add some new toys to their Wild decks that maybe are too powerful or too dangerous for standard play, but should fit right in the sort of superpowered format that Wild is. The other thing is that, you know, this release is coinciding with a new format coming to Twist called Wonders. And that format encompasses all the sets of Hearthstone from Classic through Mean Streets of Gadgetzan, with Caverns of Time put in, including all of those buffed cards. So it's sort of like a remastered Wild 2016. And it's a really great way to kind of recapture some of those like awesome classic archetypes for decks that are so beloved by players, but maybe have fallen out of favor in competitive play in favor of more powerful, newer archetypes.
This is so super cool. We're really excited for it. And this is why Nick and everyone else have been saying, don't dust your Wild collection, right? And so if you already own these cards, they're just automatically buffed, right?
That's right.
So then you'll be able to get these from the Caverns of Time packs or from the packs from their original sets from original Hearthstone up through Mean Streets.
Correct. One of the things that we're planning to do is try to ensure that the same version of card exists in every format. And so, yes, if you already have these cards in your collection, they will just be buffed in your collection. If you then open Caverns of Time packs, duplicate protection has you covered, and you'll be downloading the newly released cards from Caverns of Time. If you go back and open a Whispers of the Old Gods pack, you're going to get your superpowered cards from Whispers of the Old Gods in that pack. So really, really great way to say thank you to our longtime players who've been supporting the game for so long and remember these awesome sets from the past.
Yeah, I think the duplicate protection is really important there because, like Matt said, it means that if you
like if you have a bunch of cards from these older sets and you're looking to try out Caverns of Time, you're going to get just the new cards right away. But it also means we could do that and still do this reprint system here for Caverns of Time, so that we could, if you want to get into Wild or you want to get into Twist, there's a whole lot of different expansions that's gone on there. And like, if you want some cards, you're kind of picking from a whole bunch of different expansions. You're still going to be to some extent, but this concentrates a whole lot of the really powerful cards that are gonna see play into one set. So you'll have a pretty high concentration of, like, this is just the best of pack, basically, in addition to having the new cards in it too.
That's right. We thought carefully about some of the cards within a class that would work together to form an exciting strategy for this new format. And so if you combine those, not to mention that there's a good number of cards in the core set that are available to all players, which are also going to be legal in this Wonders format. So through that combination, we're really hoping that this provides an opportunity for people to jump right in to fun, novel play that has this kind of like great throwback feel to it.
That's so cool. Well, if you don't mind, we have a few questions to ask, and we got a little sneak preview of some of these cards, and looking at these new cards, I think is really what was so exciting. And so let me just kick it off. We were super excited to see brand new cards for both C'Thun, the eye stock of C'Thun, and Jade, the rogue card, Jade Telegraph, for these archetypes that we haven't seen for the past 7 years, right? Since their original releases in Whispers of the Old Gods and Mean Streets of Gadgetzan. So what made you want to revisit these archetypes after they've been dormant for the past 7 years?
Well, I think part of it is that we love these deck archetypes, and we know that players love them too. And they were some of the things, at least for me personally, were some of the decks that I was playing when I'd been playing Hearthstone since the beginning, but I think that this was the era when I really fell in love with the game, and that the promise of some of these strategies like C'Thun, like Jade, really captured your imagination. Like there's a dream in these mechanics, and also that they could be played across a bunch of different classes. That was the other thing. It was sort of like there was a variety within this one archetype or these two archetypes. So that was part of it, was wanting to kind of recapture the feel of this era and thinking that these kind of needed some new toys to play with to kind of go toe-to-toe with some of the more powerful strategies that are out there. So we're really hoping that those do see play. And, you know, one of the things that's been really fun about the Jade Telegram card specifically was that Rogue was missing its third Jade card when it first released, right? Each class got three, Rogue only got two. We
closed
the loop on that. But be careful what you wish for, because it is a brutal card. It is really powerful. So it's one I'm sure people are going to have fun playing with.
Yeah, well, we noticed it fits both the Jade Rogue archetype, but also Burgle Rogue as well. So if you want to kind of do both, why not both?
It's
super cool. And I remember years ago, someone asking Ben Brode, right, like, hey, are there going to be new C'Thun cards in the future? Oh, well, we're not planning for it outside of this set. So I'm over the moon to play a brand new C'Thun card after so much time. So,
okay, don't tell Ben.
Super, super fun. Nope. Well, I won't. My lips are shut.
Well, they gave us all C'Thun for free then. So that was, for me, the same time where I started taking the game more seriously as well. And I appreciated that so much because I could try C'Thun in all my decks. And it's been years, or all my classes, it's been years since I've been able to do that. So I'm really excited to be able to hop in and explore some more.
As Wild players, we love playing Reno Jackson and Highlander style decks. We noticed that there's a brand new Highlander card coming out in this new set, Morrison, Thief of Time, for Priest. How did you settle on this? Were there other prospective classes or cards for Highlander support?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the legendaries in Caverns of Time went through a lot of iteration, a lot of experimentation and discovery. Morrison was a card that we knew we wanted to do from the beginning that tied into the lore of Caverns of Time and that conflict between Nazdormu and Morrison. So he was a character that we definitely had our eye on. And we were looking at the sort of singleton deck strategies from this era, recognized that they were beloved by a lot of people. I mean, like, Kazakus Priest was my jam back in this era, right? So something that was really exciting to me. So wanting to give support to those archetypes is really important. And what we ultimately discovered is like a lot of them have these like sort of game-ending effects, right? They're just like really transformative. But the problem is that a lot of the decks from this era, you look at like Totem Shaman or Pirates and different things. There's a lot of really aggressive strategies that were prominent in this time. And so we thought that maybe the best way to create a card to support that singleton archetype would be to provide something that could provide defense against aggressive strategies so that you can get to the late game and play those other singleton haymaker cards, right? So that was sort of the design strategy behind the Murazan mechanic. There were other cards that we wanted to more overtly broadcast that sort of singleton strategy. Originally in their designs, both the Chromie legendary in Mage, as well as the Rooney legendary in Paladin, were singleton cards, but ultimately realized that while these effects were incredibly powerful, and had a lot of flexibility with them, we realized that they didn't need the drawback to be really good in their classes. So we removed the rider. But those cards are still really good in singleton decks if you want to play a Reno deck.
That's awesome.
For sure.
So we weren't going to touch too much on decisions about balance philosophy and all that. But as I want to ask this question as somebody who really appreciates aggro, and I know a lot of you guys appreciate that stuff. We did get some aggro support here, for sure. Small Time Buck is back. Thank you so much for that. But I did want to ask, did you guys consider or test the long-ass question, are you going to give patches charge back? Was that something you guys thought of and... Or what? Let me know the story behind that if there
is one.
I'm in charge now.
Patches has been like when Patches had charge, Patches was like the strongest card in the game by large margin. And even after losing charge, still one of the strongest cards. That's toned down over time somewhat, but not that much. We tried it with charge again. No, it's still busted. So yeah, no charge on patches, but I would still expect to see patches see some play here.
Oh, we had to ask, right? Because if we didn't ask, we'd get questions.
I would love patches to charge again, but yeah.
That's okay. Well, we're glad you considered it and tried it.
and I must say, yahar.
I'll say that there's overt pirate support in the set. One card not to sleep on is Ship's Chirurgeon, which wins the prize for hardest to pronounce name of a card in the set. But this is a small priest minion that says after you summon a minion, give it one health, and it happens to be both a dragon and a pirate. So you can very early in the game bring not a 1/1 patches into play, but a 1/2 patches into play.
Hey, all right. Patches got buffed after all.
I'll take it.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. all right. Well, let me ask. We are getting a brand new hero card with this set for the Shaman class, Alakir, the Winds of Time. Can we talk a little bit about how you guys selected this character? How the hero card was designed and just like, I don't know, like sweating insects.
Well, so we knew we wanted to do a hero card, right? Hero cards were not really around during this time. Technically they were, but in strange forms, they're
few and far between,
right? And so we wanted to do one of these sort of like iconic Warcraft characters. We wanted it to be somebody that also resonated with players, you know, of Hearthstone. And actually, on the very first day of design, we put together a sort of new version of Majordomo Executus for Shaman, which would have been a similar effect to that current card. Now, maybe tuned a little bit more realistically, where it death rattles into turning you into Ragnaros, but maybe not, you know, sort of leading into a lot of OTKs. However, it ended up being super powerful anyway, particularly with things like Barnes and Madame Goya and some other cards that like enabled those kinds of death rattle strategies. So we said, well, what else can we, what other great characters can we do? And I'd always thought of Alakir as being a character that, like, that card ended up in a lot of players' decks, even if it wasn't the best option for their deck, just because it's an awesome character with such a spicy, like, keyword soup effect. Mm-hmm. So it was like a card that obviously players loved, but had never been sort of like tier one. And so sort of within this greater effort of wanting to give Shaman more things to do than just beating people down with Trogs, we thought, could we give them like more of a control finisher? And so that was kind of like the inspiration behind creating this kind of hero card for Shaman. In terms of the card itself, it went through a ton of iterations. That's always true for hero cards. But we wanted to do something that was evocative of the original minion. And then we also had this sort of like aha moment late in design where Starlight Groove, the legendary spell for Paladin from Festival of Legends, had been designed and the tech had been implemented for it to put Divine Shield on a hero. And it was like, oh, of course, this is what this card needs to really make you feel like you're Alakir.
So just to briefly recap super quick, so the Alakir hero power gives you Divine Shield and Wind Fury, is that correct?
Yes, what could possibly go wrong?
I can't think of a thing. I love it.
And the Divine Shield can stick around. The Wind Fury is temporary for the turn, but the Divine Shield, like, if you don't use it, it can stick around for defensive purposes.
Right. Oh, okay.
It's
okay.
Not just for that turn. Gotcha.
That's rad. Okay. I love hero cards. They're kind of few and far between, and so when one comes out, it's super exciting. It's amazing.
Yes, there's a lot of insect swatting in his voiceover lines also. it's very bombastic.
It's my favorite. Oh gosh, it's so funny.
Excitement abounds for the new signature versions of iconic cards. How did you decide which cards to highlight with that signature treatment? For example, why did Cenarius make the cut, but other iconic cards like Goblin Blast Mage not?
Yeah, that's one of the things I'm most excited about is being able to like go back and make a bunch of signatures for cards from the past. And so that's what we got to do here. And so we looked at cards that were like iconic, just like beloved, would see play, and heavy skew towards legendaries. So I think in like comparing Cenarius to Goblin Blast Mage, yeah, Mech Mage is sweet, but Goblin Blast Mage isn't a legendary, and we mostly want to make the signatures for legendaries. There are a couple non-legendaries that are like event rewards or whatever, but the vast majority of signatures are legendaries to really, you know, focus that on the coolest cards. So yeah, there's some really cool art on these, and it's not limited to just cards that are in the actual Caverns of Time set itself. Like for the purposes of like twist formats, for example, like there is a set of cards that is the Caverns of Time set, and signatures go beyond that too. There are some signatures for cards that are in Caverns of Time, like C'Thun. But there's also a whole bunch of signatures from all over the place. Reno, Lotheb, Finley, like there's some really cool cards that I'm just glad to get signatures out there for.
Patches.
So we got some. Patches is one, too. Right? We there are some really iconic ones, right? So we got the entire League of Explorers. I think that will be signatured as well as all of the Old Gods.
The Old Gods signature art is beautiful. When Matt told me the like style they were going for the Old God signatures, and saw like the drafts of that, I was like, oh, these are nice.
I can't wait to see them.
I cannot wait to see them. Yeah. How do we? Yeah. How would someone get those signature cards? Are they just from Caverns of Time packs, or they all will also be in the packs from the sets that they were released in?
They're all in Caverns of Time packs. If they were in previous packs, then they'll also be in those previous packs. There are a few oddballs that weren't actually... Like, C'Thun wasn't actually in Old God packs because C'Thun got given away for free. There's also no signature C'Thun in the old packs, but all of them are in Caverns of Time packs.
Awesome. Okay.
So even though C'Thun wasn't in Whispers of the Old Gods packs, he is in Caverns of Time packs.
Yeah, he escaped into the future. That's part of the lore of the set. So he's only in Caverns of Time now.
Okay, cool. That's awesome. Another thing that we noticed is that there's two cards that got, I wouldn't say just buffs, but they're completely reworked into like new cards, essentially. And these two are Hobart Grapplehammer and Cho'Gall. So what we were wondering is, how did you choose to rework these particular cards? There's so many cards to choose from, right? So just curious, what went into the thought of picking these two?
Well, I wanted to see Ridiculous Hat's reaction when we buffed Hobart Grapplehammer, and he didn't disappoint. He said, "Justice for Hobart!" So that was the first reward. No, I mean, there honestly, you know, when you look at the history of Hearthstone cards, there are so many iconic characters from Warcraft that has been such an inspiration for the game that, you know, had to fill a certain role at that moment in time. And so maybe didn't make the splash in competitive play that you would have expected. There's a ton of cards that we could have gone to for this. Like Anomalous or Ronin comes to mind. Gazlo is one that I've always kind of had an eye on. So it was partly just like we had a ton of choices that we could use that all would have, I think, felt really good to change in this way. You know, effects that wouldn't really be missed if they were reinvented. But also, you know, wanted to find the ones that fit perfectly with the set that we were making. And so for Hobart, it was like we were looking very specifically at the sort of hand buff archetypes from Mean Streets of Gadgetzan that hadn't really been prominent in competitive play back in the day, wanting to bring those up into sort of the competitive feel that like the Kazaka strategies and the Jade strategies it had at that time. So shoring that up with Grapplehammer made a lot of sense. The other for Cho'Gall, I mean, Cho'Gall is an iconic character in Warcraft lore. He's really critical to the C'Thun storyline, which obviously is a major part of Caverns of Time, the set. So it made sense to revisit him as well. And then turn him into like a sweet build around for discard decks. And that was really cool to be able to like kind of give that as a signpost for people who pick up Caverns of Time to say, like, this is the kind of deck that you can build if you're really excited. And that's a card I think is going to be really spooky and wild. So I'm looking forward to seeing how people try to break that one. And the truth is, you know, in addition to those two, there are some other cards that were buffed that feel transformed in the way that they were powered up. So like Anubarak is one. The other one is Malorn. So these are cards that, you know, their base effect feels pretty similar, but with their buffs, it's like, oh, this opens up so much more space for deck design, thinking about how we can leverage these cards in our games. So I'm really excited about those ones also.
It's exciting. It's really exciting to see, as kind of a lore nerd, to see a card like Cenarius or Anubarak or Malorn, like, that previously was not played a lot just because the effect wasn't super powerful, to get buffed to a point where it's like, we want to play it. It's really powerful. It's awesome because it's a really cool character. It's just it just makes it that much more exciting to play.
Yeah. You know, it's I think that the Hearthstone community focuses a lot on design and design decisions. But the truth is that there are so many creative people that go into the making of a card, whether that's the artists, the voiceover actors, the sound designers, the engineers that sort of help to make the cards what they are. And every legendary in Hearthstone has just artistry in it, in the VFX, in the sound, the way it feels when you slam it into enemies. And if a card is not one of those cards that's in like a bunch of tier one decks, you might not experience it that much as you're playing the game. And so this was a great opportunity to be able to revisit some of those cards that have such spicy feeling effects and get them to kind of have a second debut in Caverns of Time. So that was another really nice thing about working on the set.
Absolutely. Well, and it's not like, so I think, what is it, 113 cards getting buffed plus 34 or something new, brand new cards, right? And so it's not... The buffs are so significant, and we didn't have time to get into them all, but they're so significant that it's almost like we're getting, you know, 130 plus brand new cards. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of the idea. And, you know, really looking forward to seeing how this kind of like blast from the past shapes and molds the Twist format into something that feels really distinct, as well as just a ton of new content for Wild, a number of cards at a power level that normally would not be entering that format, and really seeing how people can both create new strategies and find new toys for their favorite decks.
So now that we know why you chose these cards, what made you choose these particular effects for these reworked cards?
I think it was mostly sort of thinking about it as it relates to both the Twist format and the Wild format. You know, looking at what are the things that, you know, looking at it on a card by card basis, like what are the things that we could do to make this fit into something that's already in the mode. And it was really interesting. Like initially we kind of thought like, oh, this won't be as hard as making a standard expansion because it's a lot of reprinted cards. We're just powering them up a little bit. But suddenly it was like, no, we have to think about deck archetypes from like 9 different standard formats, right? It's like, and so figuring out how to balance all of those and try all the possible strategies and thinking about how like one change would create a chain reaction to do something, to mess up something else or improve something else, was really complicated, but a ton of fun to get to do. And it was something that was like, it was sort of a eureka moment as we were first testing this out. We had done very light touches to some of the balance to just shave off some rough edges, try to put in a little bit more one-for-one removal, try to put in a little bit more like ability to close out a game so you're not going to fatigue, just kind of smoothing off some of those awkward rough edges from early Hearthstone. And it ended up not just having like a really good gameplay feel, but it felt like you were back in those days playing classic Hearthstone where like every card matters and you're thinking about your maximizing the value of your mana and thinking like, oh, I have to hold on to this Shadow Word spell because I know that my opponent has this legendary coming down, and if I don't have an answer, I'm going to lose. And it's like thinking on that level about the game. It's just been so fun and exciting when you've got those like limited resources as you're playing. So all of that was like super inspirational and informed a lot of the decisions that we made as we were balancing the set.
So you said inspirational, and one of the most inspired cards from this new set is Runi Time Explorer. Runi looks incredible. Discover a location from the future. How did you come up with these?
But like, it's from the future.
Oh, now so we're gonna have to pronounce it like that with that emphasis every time.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
The future.
We'll turn on the reverb every time. It'll be perfect.
Exactly. So
in Year of the Griffin, we introduced these mercenary characters, including Zyrella. We had amazing stories about following the storyline for each of them. And Zyrella's was very much about trying to save her daughter, Runi. And now we get to see Runi, and she's kind of grown up, and she's a time explorer. And for some reason, she seems
Lord
to be
connection.
Skipping around the time ways, skipping around Azeroth and beyond. And she seems to be hunting for the perfect location to build something. She's looking for the best place for. Oh, sorry. Hat's telling me we're out of time.
Uh-oh.
Sorry, we gotta go.
No!
Sending frantic chats.
Sorry, time's up. We'll talk more later. Bye.
No!
How long can this go on?
Yep. Speaking
Thanks
of that,
for having us on those.
unnerfed cards leading to Grim Patron combos now legal in this new format. So think about that. What that means
Ooh.
For the future.
Oh, that's exciting! Yeah, we are really looking forward to all these new cards and stuff. Thank you guys so much for taking the time out. I know we went over a little bit, and I just want to say thank you. We're really excited for all the new cards, and we had a bazillion questions to try to cut them down to fit our time exploring exploits. It's just awesome. So thank you again. Thanks for taking the time to hang out with us today.
Yes, thank y'all so much for all the time that you spent here with us. We really, really do appreciate it. And I'm sorry, Hat, for going a little over. If there's anything else that you might want to say to us and our listeners, what else might you like to add in the no time you have allotted?
Well, I would like to say thank you, everyone, for supporting Hearthstone, for trying Twist, trying Wild. Please give this new format a shot. Check out Caverns of Time. You know, we are going to have battle-ready decks so that if you don't have this big collection of old cards, you can still jump right into the mode and try it out. The decks are especially spicy. They're very tuned, and they're going to be really exciting. So be sure to check those out. And yeah, I mean, you'll see me on the ladder. I'm going to be rocking probably 12 decks on day one. So looking forward to it.
I can't wait. Thank you.
Thanks, all.
And we're back. Wow, that was such an amazing opportunity. Really just incredible. And wanted to briefly recap. So Caverns of Time is the first ever Wild exclusive Hearthstone expansion with patch 27.2 launching today, August 22nd. We will see 113 buffs to Wild cards. If you already have these cards in your collection, you'll see buffs with the launch of this patch, and you can play with them right now. If you don't have these cards, they can be obtained from their original sets or from the brand new Caverns of Time packs, which officially releases on August 31st and includes not only these buffed cards, but 34 brand new direct to wild cards. Also, hidden amongst the Caverns of Time packs are special signature versions of other iconic wild cards, like the League of Explorers and the Old Gods. So very, very cool.
There's so much all happening at the same time. And then right at the very at the very end, we ask about Rooney, and we get a little bit of a story. Rooney is like traveling through time to different locations, and she's building something. And then, oh, wait, hold up. Interview over. Like,
talk about messing with the time continuum.
Oh my gosh. Right?
How long could that not go on? We needed to know.
So we don't know, but that was so cool. I don't know why they didn't tell us. I feel like that was a cliffhanger on purpose, but it left me wondering and very excited. It's all so cool.
It's so cool. Teasing like possible future expansions. Like, are they real? Are they not? We don't know. It's so neat.
Yeah, so speaking of time, we had some other questions that we knew that we probably wouldn't have the time to ask, but would have loved to. So we wondered, for example, totally totems, you know, summons all five basic totems, overload one.
Wait a minute, how many?
Five totems. So that means we get Wrath of Air back. Like, how does that work? Is that going to be incorporated to the hero power at all? Probably not, but maybe. Is
what
that hero power
going
to be in Twist? Like, maybe? I don't know. What? I want to know so much.
Right? I did a double take when I read five. I was like, because I remember mourning when they switched it out for the other totem, and just what a throwback.
Absolutely. Another question that we had was, are there other keywords that were set specific that could be brought back in the future as well, like Dormant or Echo? Obviously, this was heavily inspired by the original classic Wild. Yeah. So through Mean Streets of Gadgets in, so that's what they're highlighting here. But if this does well, what others might they focus on? Obviously, we cut that one for time because, like, that's not focused on what we're doing this one. But I want to know what else they might have, like, in the hopper.
Right.
And finally, and this one applies to us as well, what decks are they, and here we, most excited for players to experience on release day?
So there's like so many things happening all at once, but if you guys know my brain and I scan for pirates and I see that small time buccaneer, my boy, actually in the very beginning, I was like, this thing is broken. Well, and then I started playing and it was no longer broken. It was now fair. and I love the little guy, right? And my boy is back. So I feel like small time Buck is going to slot himself back in into some of my pirate decks. And I'm pretty stoked about that. Nate, what are you looking at?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much here and I haven't had time to like fully like dive into everything yet. But what I'm so excited to play is the C'Thun cards, like just C'Thun, like when Whispers of the Old Gods came out, it was such an iconic set at the time. And I remember exactly like where I was living at the time and what I was doing and just how much fun I had with it. And so the idea of being able to pick up C'Thun and play brand new archetypes of C'Thun that are buffed after so many years is just incredible. And I'm really looking forward to it. And like, I'll make it work. I'll find a way to make it work. I'm so excited. What about you, Sheep?
I can't find a way to make Jade Druid work as well. Like my best friend hit legend before I did with Jade Druid. And, you know, since then, Jade Idol Druid, not nearly the same thing. So I'm excited to see if I can hit legend with an actual like Jade's Druid, not just that one idol.
Gotta get that behemoth going.
Oh, yeah. The right? Behemoth, the spirit, like, woohoo. Oh, can't wait.
With that... Diamond Aya.
Oh my gosh.
What? You die now.
Golems are going to be my best friend.
Yeah. Super, super cool. Wow. Wait, does that mean that there's going to be like diamond golems?
I don't think so. How they've done other like diamond or signature stuff that makes tokens, they've been golden tokens, so we'll probably still see those golden jade golems.
Hey, I love maybe. Gold.
They're still shiny. I'll take the shinies.
Oh yeah.
Oh man. Well, I'm just so excited. You know, we joked a long time about you that saying like wild is where you go to play your favorite decks of yesteryear. It was like kind of a joke because over time there's all this power creep and like, sure, you can play your favorite old deck, but like it's not very good. But because they're buffing so many cards, like just the fact that we can go through and play old archetypes like Jades and C'Thuns, or we can create new archetypes with all these buffed cards, like it literally puts a new twist on the format. And like pun intended, but like I just think it's so cool because it really changes up the whole makeup of the format, and I'm really excited to play it. I think it kind of revitalizes things, which is something for me personally that's really exciting. So
who am I?
None of your business. Well, additionally, I'm super excited to see like they rounded out the Jades for Rogue. Like we finally get the complete Jade package after all these years. Like, just can't wait.
Right? Super, super cool. Well, friends, that wraps it up for this super short bonus episode. For those of you longtime Born to be Wild enjoyers, thank you so much for your support. Thank you for being here. And for those of you joining us for the very first time, thank you so much. We really appreciate your support. We do record a new episode each week live on Twitch, and then episodes are posted shortly thereafter to YouTube and the other audio podcast platforms. For more information, check us out online at our website, borntobewildhs.com. And we will see you back next week for another new episode of
Born to be
Wild.
Job's done.